Welcome to the Sim Podcast Show. I'm your co-host, Eric, and I'm always joined by my co-host. What up, Ron?
What's going on?
You know what we do? We talk about the National Football League on a weekly basis, including the playoffs. Ron, this is episode 140, week 14. So, how are you feeling right now? Are you just... Because you were... Show me that you're waving the white flag. Is, yes. is that what it is?
I've waved the flag on the season. I probably have, honestly, like, started a couple weeks ago.
No, because I don't have the bourbon, so you can't say that.
Well, yeah, and our bet, you'll get that right around Christmas, most likely. You got a couple weeks more to go until we're mathematically eliminated. Dead.
Well, right. Technically, so, you can still win the division.
Exactly. Yeah. Not only that, technically,
but that doesn't mean that you win the bet.
Your team could technically lose out, and somehow we can tie the bet. So until we're mathematically eliminated.
That is doubtful.
Hey, it might happen this weekend.
Sure.
Mathematically eliminated. So
sure will.
From winning the deal. But we'll see.
Can that happen this weekend because we're on bye?
Yeah, but we can lose, and basically.
You're out?
We're out. Like, so that will be our seventh loss. Right, and you guys have two losses. How many games left?
Two losses, 11 games.
11 games won.
Four games left.
Okay, so yeah, then we'll be mathematically out of it. So you won't be, you know. But it is what it is. I'm at the point of acceptance. I've been here, probably about 2 weeks, like I said. At this point, every win is counterproductive, and I am actively rooting for the Steelers to lose every game because it takes for change to happen, and you have to have like drastic stuff happen, and losing out, collapsing in the season is what I think it'll take for Tomlin to either get traded or to step down. So. If they back their way into a playoffs, which they're still the Steelers.
I mean, it still can happen. Right. That's what I mean. It's like, I don't think that the Steelers have hit rock bottom.
Not yet, no. But it's headed there, right? It's certainly headed there. We're not there yet, but I'm predicting this year has been different. But I've been saying this like every year for the past 2 years that Tomlin should go. So. But I'm predicting this year feels a little bit different. I think he's grasping for straws at this point. And, as far as the team, I think there's a better chance of us missing the playoffs than making it and holding on to winning the division. So we'll see what happens.
Well, let's just talk right into it because we're going to have the NFL news. We're going to have the last week's review. Then we'll have our power rankings, and then we're going to have our game predictions, game picks. But let's talk about it, because last Sunday's game, we heard a lot of fire Tomlin, the chants. I guess he agreed. I don't know what that means. He agreed with the crowd that they should be fired.
He agreed. So what does he quit? He shared their frustrations
it's not his fault. That's why he's.
I don't think he's not saying it's his fault. He's saying they're in the business of entertaining. I think is how he phrased it today in his press conference. And right now, they've fallen short. Their goal is to win, and they're falling short. So he owned up to it. So he didn't make any promises of what could change. There's not much you can do, to be honest with you. There's so many issues.
Now with a 41-year-old QB.
You got a 41-year-old quarterback that you are tied to the hip with. And I told you at the beginning of the year, right? You make that deal with the devil, you are basically, you're signing. It better either work out. And working out to me was just one playoff win. You better win a playoff game or you're both, like, to me, would have been gone. And that's I think that's where we're headed to right now. So you want to tie yourself to 41-year-old quarterbacks, to 32-year-old cornerbacks, to now this 35-year-old receiver, which we'll talk about here in a second. We reap what you sow. So, he's the main guy making all these decisions. There's nothing anyone can say at this point. I think Steelers fans themselves have been saying this for years. I think the national media now finally is starting to catch on, but they still refuse to... some of them still refuse to say, Steelers will actually do anything.
Well, let's talk about it. The next thing is Thielen's I guess Pittsburgh picked him up after he got let go from the Vikings. Well, he wanted to be let go, right?
Yeah.
So he said retired, but then all of a sudden Pittsburgh picked him up. So I don't think that's a guarantee that he'll play. They just picked up his rights, right?
Right. So, and I don't know if he had to retire. I think they just worked the deal where they would kind of like let him loose, and he can go play for whatever team he wants to. Pittsburgh put their hat in the ring for him. Doesn't guarantee that he'll actually play. He'll probably be sitting right there next to MVS on the practice squad, I would imagine, because both those guys have signed. MVS hasn't seen the field or been elevated at any point yet. So, and at this point, he's not a difference maker. He just, can he throw? Can he tackle? Can he block?
Are your receivers that bad that he needed?
I think there's a misconception with the national media, especially local media might, you know, they get it a little bit. There's not an issue necessarily with the receivers on the team. It's the scheme that we're running with Arthur Smith's system. So if you go out there with three tight ends, plus another eligible in your tackle, that means you're running plays, not just running the ball. You're running passing plays with a 310, 350 pound tight end who can't move, with Freiermuth, who didn't get a target this past week. For whatever reason, I don't know. And then Jonnu Smith, who's been, at this point, he should just be cut because we're not even using him the right way. So that's your offense. And then DK Metcalf. So you're going up out there with like DK, you know, getting 4 or 5 targets every week, and then your receivers getting 2 targets, your other receivers, if that at all. So I don't see how Thielen, MVS, I don't see how George Pickens himself would have made a difference on this team, just you running the scheme that Arthur Smith is running when those guys are getting, you know, 15 plays on offense a week.
But there's just not enough plays. Do you think that Arthur Smith, when he signed with the Steelers, that Tomlin was like, no, I know that you might have your own scheme, but you have to run mine?
I think they blended schemes. So Arthur Smith has always been a tight and heavy scheme. But I think what I'm seeing is that Tomlin, and he's done this for years under Matt Canada, is the same thing. You know, he's telling the coordinator, here's what I want, right? I want you to run the ball, and I want you to avoid risk as much as possible. So he's telling the coordinator, the quarterbacks, only throw on the outside, you know, outside the hashtags, right? Don't use the middle of the field at all. So, you know, they're limiting themselves because he's so afraid to take any chances. And that was the problem with Matt Canada. Never used the middle of the field. That's the problem now with Arthur Smith. And, you know, at first we blamed Canada. We blamed Russell Wilson being too short. We blamed Kenny Pickett for, you know, not having a strong arm or whatever excuse we use. But at the end of the day, it's the one constant has been Tomlin living in his fears and being extremely conservative. And, you know, it's 2025, about to be 2026. That might have worked in 1980, 1990, that approach. But you got to get with the times. And his time's over. It's gone. He's like, you know, new coaches today, they understand it's an offensive driven league. You got to be able to take risks. That's why teams look at the Detroit coach. He goes for it every time on fourth down, right? That you have to score points. And Tomlin is still stuck in old school where we're going to punt on every 4th-and-2, 4th-and-1. You know, it doesn't matter where we're at. We're not going to go for it. We're not going to throw in the middle of the field. We're not going to, you know, we're going to try to minimize risk as much as possible and rely on our defense who underperformed all year. One of the worst defenses in the league that he's responsible for.
Highest paid, but no.
Yeah, second highest paid. Your handpicked defensive coordinator who should have been fired at this point. But quite honestly, again, he's probably told as well by Tomlin to do certain schemes or whatnot. And, you know, you can fire the defensive coordinator if you want to, but that there's no one walking in the room that's going to fix their issues. It starts with him. He needs to go. His coaches probably need to go along with him. and someone else needs to come in and reestablish the culture for this, for the Steelers.
Too bad, because I think if they end up parting ways, I think that you can have Tomlin, but maybe as a defensive coordinator.
No, he needs to be gone.
you want him out of the football.
Well, let me ask you this, because you guys have been through this, right? With Belichick, to a certain extent. It was, now yours was like messy. It was a messy divorce. But would you have wanted Belichick around the Patriots facility at all? Or did you want a clean house when things, when the shit hit the fan and the Patriots were losing every week and looking miserable losing? Would you have wanted Belichick to stick around in any fashion?
Now, when nepotism and everything else, like, he wanted his own guys.
That's, you know, it's the eventually, same thing like, with
his
Tomlin.
Ego got so big.
The same exact thing with Tomlin.
No, but Tomlin is not the GM. Bill Belichick was the GM, the coach. He was the general manager.
Another misconception out there, again, that it's not mentioned nationally, but locally people know. Mike Tomlin makes every single like GM decision on that team. It doesn't matter that he doesn't have that role. He has someone in position that's not going to sign a player without his input and him saying, yeah, let's go after these people. Let's go after Aaron Rodgers. The reason why Aaron Rodgers is there is not because the Steelers and Rooney and, you know, they wanted Aaron Rodgers. It was Tomlin himself who's had this like buddy relationship with Rodgers, and he said, you know, that's my quarterback.
So
that's who I want.
Tomlin goes and Omar goes to Omar Khan.
I don't know if Omar needs to go, but most likely he will probably end up leaving, because you know, it's not like Omar chose Tomlin as the head coach and chose his own coordinators. No, it was Tomlin making the decisions around everything, including the GM. You know, it was set up the exact same way without the title in New England, and it's probably set up the same way for a lot of other teams, like for coaches that have been around, you know, the league for a while. And I'm sure it's the same way with the Ravens. And no matter what we say about their GM and stuff, those guys who've been there 10, 15 years deserve to have some input into who they're drafting, who they're signing and all that stuff. But I think with like certain teams, they've just gone completely overboard. And, you know, with certain coaches, time, you know, their ship sailed. You know, Belichick, it's sailed. It's sailed on Tomlin. It's probably sailing on, you know, Harbaugh, potentially.
Taylor.
Yeah. Sometimes.
Stefanski. That whole NFC North coaching staff.
Sometimes your time it's time to go. And, you know, you can't, your voice is no longer, you know, resonating within the locker room. And, it's time for a new voice. And I think it's been like that, honestly, for a couple of years. Because if you look back and you think about it, we can sit here and talk about George Pickens and all his antics. George Pickens is a great football player who never got the damn ball. And he was so frustrated about the stupid schemes that they were running, not using the middle of the field, and all the restrictions that Tom was putting on the offense. Of course he's going to get frustrated. And of course he's going to lash out. So now you see him in Dallas, he's being featured in the office, and no one should be surprised that he's exploded into probably their number one, you know, receiver at this point, one of the top receivers in the league.
He's definitely going to get paid.
He has the talent. He's always had the talent. It's never been an issue with talent. Pittsburgh has talent. Pittsburgh has more talent, in my opinion, than the Patriots. The Patriots are sitting there at what's their record? 10-2?
11-2.
11-2. The Steelers are sitting at 6-6. It's not because of talent, right? It's because of coaching. You know, you look at the roster top to bottom, outside of Drake May. I still think the Steelers have a better roster for the most part, but the coaching, it's like, it's not even close. It's not close. It's not close. And, I just hope we continue to lose. Like I said, that's where I'm at this point, because that's what it'll take. It'll take fans showing up and booing like they did on Sunday. And, you know, fans raising enough noise locally so that Rooney says, you know, it's enough. We need to go our separate ways, because he got another year under contract. So technically, they don't have to let him go.
I will say, when I see them hit rock bottom, which they haven't, because technically, like you said, they can they're still in it. They can still win the division, and that might. I don't know if that'll save Tomlin give an extension, but he might just, finish out his contract.
Like I said at the beginning of the year, you're making these decisions and tying yourself to someone like Aaron Rodgers. You made the decision to get rid of George Pickens when you know you need a number two. You made the decision to bring all these old guys in. You traded Minka Fitzpatrick. He just had like a freaking pick six yesterday, right? He's having a great season. You're making all these decisions because you're the one, who's being the GM. You better own it. You better win a playoff game. So if he turns this around and wins a playoff game, I would forgive everything.
Just one game?
If he wins one playoff game, I will walk everything back if he wins one playoff game this season. But that's how confident I am that this team is not going to rebound and turn things around. Heck, they didn't win a playoff. They haven't won one in 8-9 years. There's no way this team, and not because of talent, just because of structure and schematics and head coaching, lack of coaching, there's no way this team is going to weigh it. I don't think this team wins and makes it to the playoffs. I can't see this team, looking at their schedule, winning more than one game left on the remaining schedule, period.
I saw a stat that I'm going to check right now, because I was like, this can't be true. It was something like, in 18 years of Thomas coaching as a head coach, Steelers have only won 4 games. And I was like, that can't be right.
4 what games? Like playoff games?
4 playoff games. Because I know they won a Super Bowl with him, right? But then like only one other game.
I don't know how true that is. I need to go back. He's been in the league for like 19 years, so I find that a little bit hard to believe. But at the same time, forget about like, he's done some great things, Hall of Fame, but I don't want to like completely dismiss the success he's had. But if you look at the last...
last 18 years, he's 8-11.
Yeah. I mean, back in the days, coaches would have been fired for that, right? Fisher got fired and... Lovie Smith got fired, and a bunch of other coaches have been fired for that type of mediocrity on other teams that the standard isn't what our standard is not supposed to be. Not supposed to be our standard, but we wouldn't even be having this discussion if it wasn't, his name wasn't Mike Tomlin. So, in the last like 2 years, I think it was like the last 20 games or something like that. We're like 6-17 or 6-15 or something like that. If you go back to our losses like last year when we lost like 5-6 in a row or something, then you look at our record, this year, he's had a losing record in the last like 17, 18, 19 games or so. No one's talking about that. We're 6-6. No, go back to what you did last year that, own that too, so... You've been terrible. You've been under 500. I don't see them salvaging this season. I don't care. The Dolphins, they'll be underdogs. The Lions, they'll be underdogs. The Ravens, they're already underdogs. Both times, they'll be underdogs. And the Browns, I can see us losing to the Browns. Why not? We might not even have anything to play for by the time we get to that Browns game on the 28th.
Yeah, things are looking very bleak for the Steelers.
Bleak, it depends on your outlook. Bleak or great, depends on how you want to look at it. Like, again, I'm at a point where I'm at acceptance, and I am glad they lost last week. I'm hoping they lose again. I hope it looks ugly too. And because that's what it's going to take for him to leave.
It's not going to look ugly, because Baltimore is not exactly a Leviathan of a team now. The other thing that I want to talk about in the NFL news, Herbert just had hand surgery today. it's never good when you have surgery and then you say you're going to start.
Yeah, well.
Even if it's your non-throwing hand. We, like, what happened to Aaron Rodgers? He got sacked. He almost didn't want to get up.
Yeah, he took a shot and a half. And it's, again, his fault because you're sitting there holding the dang ball, right? Turning down receivers that were open, running around the pocket like you're 20 years old, and you're already injured and you took a hard hit, land on your wrist, got a bloody nose. You got to deal with it. And we talked about like Jackson Dart yesterday. You know, you want to go out there and pretend that you're a superhero? There are a million Jackson Darts out there, right? Quarterbacks are a dime a dozen. I've seen this with like, for the, all the years, I've seen so many quarterbacks go out and get injured and their career is over, right? From RG3 to name anyone, right? So if he wants to go out there and play like that, okay. Giants will be drafting another quarterback in a year or two.
And then let's talk about last week, because so Pittsburgh, thanks for not beating Buffalo for us, but Pittsburgh went out there. I was at Disney. I didn't watch this game live, but I saw the text. Why couldn't they move the ball?
It was the worst, most atrocious performance of the year, of the last like several years. Offensively, we could not get anything going. I thought they ran the ball okay. But Buffalo just had everybody up on the line of scrimmage and said, I want to see you beat us passing the ball. And I think we had like 5 yards passing or something crazy like that in that first half. It was something insane. And Buffalo didn't pass the ball well either because
you guys were winning 3-7 at halftime.
Yeah, but we were winning, but we didn't feel like we were dominating. We had 2 turnovers, I think, at that point. And the Bills were kind of shooting themselves in the foot a little bit. And even though our defense had those turnovers, we were getting gashed, by Cook. He was running all over us. And
249 yards by everyone is not good.
We were getting cooked. So we didn't feel like we were winning that game. We felt like if we don't get control of this game, get some points in that first drive, Buffalo is going to like snap out of it and we're going to get blown out. And that's exactly what happened. You know, we had a turnover right after halftime and it was all she wrote after that because, like I said, Rodgers played awful. He just has not looked like the last 7 games or so. He's missing players. He's throwing to like guys that are open and just missing them. He had a chance to hit, I think it was like Calvin Austin on a deep route and missed them, or it might have been Roman Wilson. He's just missed some guys. He's been like a little bit off. Has had happy feet because he doesn't want to get hit. And we haven't stuck to the run as much as we should. And the offense has just looked miserable. Now defensively, that's all on like Tomlin. And schematics, player effort, I think, to a certain extent. That's a whole, like, another level of, like, issues. I think that's what is infuriating the fans because we got, like you said, the highest paid defense out there. And, yeah, you know, Harmon didn't play, but it should not have equated to knowing, like, the conditions where you could not pass the ball at all, right? Josh Allen only had 123 yards passing. They should not be able to run the same play over and over and over again to the tune of how many ever yards they had rushing to finish that game.
249.
Yeah. That is just a team that is not confident, given up to a certain extent, and they're questioning like the coaching for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the standings right now. You and Baltimore, Steelers and Ravens both have 6 wins. Then you have Cincinnati with 4, Browns with 3. So, you're in it technically, but when I look at your point differential, it's not too bad. You know, minus 8 compared to the Bengals, which is minus 94. So, I mean,
well, they could at least say, hey, I didn't have Burrow and I didn't have Lamar for like a bunch of games. Rodgers has played every game except for one. So, you know, they can, to a certain extent, have an excuse.
And who after Rodgers? Yeah, Mason, and then that's it.
We have Will Howard, the rookie, who missed some time beginning of the year for injury, but he's been he was elevated. He's been our emergency like number three quarterback. I think fans want to see him play, and I think that would be the right thing to do. But unfortunately, because we're not out of it, it's not the right time, because it's not going to happen. Because, you know, had we been like mathematically eliminated, he would probably be in at this point. But because they are still technically in it, we're probably not going to see Will Howard play, which is disappointing because, I think a lot of fans think are excited to see what he can do.
So why didn't the Steelers just draft Dart? He was there.
Why do you think they didn't? Do you think when going into the draft, they already didn't know what their plan was?
To get Aaron, because I don't think they got Rodgers to like late.
Yeah, but they
spring,
already
right?
They already said they already came out and said, yeah, we knew we were going after Rodgers and we're gonna have Rodgers. They already knew. They just didn't say it publicly. But that was their plan even before the draft. Hey, we have Rodgers. We're going to stick with him and then we'll draft someone later on in the later rounds. Which, to me, if you're putting all your feet in and all your money in, all your chips in, that's the right thing to do. If you're saying, I trust Aaron Rodgers to lead this team into the playoffs and to win a playoff game and I can fix the defense, it makes sense when you think about it that way. But what's the plan if shit hits the fan and goes sideways? Because... they probably felt, okay, we have Mason. He's been with us for a while. We're used to him. And then we have Will Howard. We can develop him or whatever, but we trust Rodgers to get us. It makes sense as you're talking about it, but that's not what has happened because Rodgers has looked like a shell of himself for the last 3+ years, not just this year, not just last year. He hasn't been the same for a while. So that was just a bad decision, poor decision. And a lot of poor decisions. Again, that's one piece of it. But again, Pickens, to me, Minka Fitzpatrick, I can name a lot of other crappy decisions that they've made.
It's a sad situation for the Steelers. But let's talk about someone who's on the bright side of things. The best team in the AFC, New England Patriots, laid a smackdown on the New York Giants. Now, like I told our friend Chris, this massacre doesn't wipe out what happened with those two Super Bowls. But like you said, it was great to see Jackson Dart get hit.
Yes, I love it. I love when I see arrogant quarterbacks get popped like that. Love it. Absolutely love it.
And to be honest, I hope it happens again.
It will.
It wasn't like he, oh, then I should slide. He's continue to do the same thing.
First of all, if you show up to the field for like game day dressed like a complete moron, you think it's all about you, you deserve to get hit. I don't care if you're a rookie quarterback. I don't want to see my rookie quarterback posing for any cameras before the game because they are completely out of touch about what it takes to be a... Would Tom Brady have done that in his rookie year? No. No, he would not be like walking in front of the cameras and like whatever.
Because Dart went to Ole Miss. I don't know what happened to Ole Miss when he was treated like a king or whatnot. But
yeah, he was.
You're in New York now.
Yeah.
You're in the big city.
You want to dress like look
there's
the
no
part.
Humble.
That's fine.
There's
you
no humble.
If you don't play the part, though, go out and actually play well. You take those kind of shots, it's just a matter of time. The media is going to get on him so hard. It's not going to be funny. You know, they got to like, my rookie quarterbacks just need to like, they need to be humbled. I don't.
But that's what I mean. Like,
they need to be humbled.
Like maybe more of those hits until he finally gets in and said that he needs to slide.
Yeah. Hey, my position as an NFL quarterback is not given just because I was drafted in the first round and team invested in me. There are plenty, like I said, I can name off the top of my head, tons of first round pick quarterbacks who have not survived more than like 2 years or 3 years in the NFL. So there'll be another Jackson Dart out there. If the next head coach comes in and says, I am not dealing with this nonsense, let me go out and get a real quarterback.
And we talked about replacing Brian Daboll, right? So now would you put Tomlin in as your coach?
I would. So I'm going to do it from a Steelers standpoint. Absolutely trade Mike Tomlin to the Giants for their first round pick. Maybe something else extra on top of it. I think it's a win situation for us because that gives us another first round pick to maybe go look for our quarterback next year. I think it's a win situation for them because as bad of a X's and O's coach that Tomlin is, he's still a very player-friendly, culture-setting, coach that can come into your organization. He would not put up with stuff with Abdul Carter, for example, getting suspended 3 games, or not suspended, but like benched 3 games in a row. Like, he's not going to put up with stuff like that. And, I think the players will obviously respect him and want to play for him and stuff like that. And I think he'll show them how to work hard. And I think from a culture standpoint, he can fix that for them. Now, in terms of X's and O's, you're screwed. But culture by itself can get you some wins. It can get them more than 2 wins.
Can get us some respect.
Yeah, some respect. Them to like 8 wins. Not be stuck on 2 to 4 wins every season like they've been, for like, how many seasons in a row. So to me, if I'm the Giants, it would make sense for sure as well.
This game last night was total domination by the Patriots. No turnovers by the Patriots. Tons of tackles. I think the Giants didn't even have 100 yards on the ground. Let me just look at the box score real quick. No, they had 111, but only 68 for Singletary. Listen, the only thing that's bad about this game last night was Drake May not getting 300 yards. But everything else...
He has looked the part, man. Like
every receiver had a minimum of 2 catches. Well, Kyle Williams had 1 catch, but that was a touchdown. So I'm going to discount that. But, talking about Stevenson, Henry, Moody, Douglas.
You know how Drake May is good? He is elevating everyone else around him.
Yes.
That's how he gets it. He understands. He's playing well. His passes, decision-making, has been better than it was this season. He's not turning the ball over like he did the first part of the season. And then he just knows where to go, how to read the field, where to throw it to. And then when he makes throws, they're like on target. They're very accurate. He's going to be a force to deal with for years to come. So you put better weapons around him.
They have tons of draft picks. Extra money for next year.
Give him a number one receiver. You can see. I mean, Diggs is good. Don't get me wrong. But I'm talking about give him someone like Jamar Chase or somebody like that. His numbers would be like even more ridiculous than they have been this year.
Justin Jefferson wants to be traded.
Yeah.
But
I don't.
I want them to keep Josh McDaniels as the offensive coordinator. Because the fact that he even said in an interview, he's like, he's showing me tapes about how Tom Brady and running his offense. Night and day, I'm just watching Tom Brady and he's mimicking everything that Tom Brady was doing. Calling out the mic, calling the plays out when he taps his helmet because he called everything. Everything is like Tom Brady was used to do.
Yeah, it's, you can have the most amount of talent and fail. Like, again, many quarterbacks have. Or you can have the talent and have the right attitude and the right coaching, people leading you to have success. I think all that has to come together. And that's what has been happening, I think, in New England. And he's fortunate to be there. I want to make sure I give him credit, too. Like, he's putting the work in, like you said, like watching tapes and mimicking Tom Brady. Like, you know, the sky's the limit for him. And I think, again, if you, the pieces around him are good, but if you make them great, you know, I think he'll without a doubt be in the MVP conversation for years to come, not just like, you know, just this year.
Yeah. Listen, all I want them to do is get the number one spot, because once they get the number one, they only need to win two games to be in the Super Bowl. Two games, and they're in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So let's do it. Ron, who is in your power ranking for this week 14?
Yeah, so I think there's some shakeups for sure in terms of like some of the top teams losing, but I got Seattle at my number one. The Patriots, I moved up to number two. I think I had them at number three last week. I had them at number three last week. Green Bay at number three, the Rams at number four, Denver I got at number five, Chicago making a move up to number six, Jacksonville I moved up to number seven, 49ers, they're my new team in my top 10, they were lurking last week, I got them at number eight, Philly with their loss, I dropped them to number nine, Indy, I got them at number 10, the team I pushed out was Detroit with their loss, but I have them. I still think that they are right there. You know, top 10 is there for their taking. They'll be in the playoffs, even with five losses now, I think, is what they have. You know, Detroit, Buffalo, you know, it's Buffalo and Detroit. I think every team, there's no perfect team out there. Every team has some like issues. So, you know, Buffalo, the Chargers, Detroit, Houston, I got them all kind of lurking. They'll probably, some of them will be in the playoffs. I don't think it's a guarantee like Houston will be in the playoffs. You know, once you get in, anything can happen. So that's where my top 10 is at right now. If I'm looking at my top 10, who do I believe in the least in this top 10? I'd probably have to say, man, I want to say Indy, but I think I feel like I trust Indy more than I trust Jacksonville, even though they just beat Indy this week.
I mean, when you look at your list, my list is almost exactly the same. Same top two teams, Seattle and New England. I do have the Rams at third. I have Denver at fourth, Green Bay at fifth. Chicago, I got in the sixth. Indy, I got in the seventh. Followed by Jacksonville, I got the Niners, and then I got Philly at number 10. I mean, if I look at your list and my list, the only team I really don't trust right now, actually, there's two. I really don't trust Indy because of Daniel Jones' injury. Yeah. I don't think he can move. He can probably throw, but I don't know if he can move like he used to. And then I'm still questioning what's going on with Green Bay.
Yeah.
Like, Jordan Love has cost me some money. I'm just going to be honest. Like, I think there were two games where he didn't have a touchdown. Yeah. He just didn't. And I was like, you can't be call yourself a star quarterback and not have a TD running or passing, nothing. Zero.
There's times he looks so good. It's almost, I don't compare him to Trevor Lawrence, but it's close between the two of them, because there's times where you're like, man, these guys have so much talent, but then they don't put it together. Like some weeks you're like, why aren't you throwing for like 300 yards every week? You got the talent, but some weeks you're out here going like a dud on offense. I don't understand.
Green Bay has receivers. Jacksonville has receivers.
Right.
They have a running game. I know that their running back is hurt, but
yeah.
Come on, Jacksonville. Come on, Green Bay.
I trust Green Bay's defense, though, with Parsons and some of the other guys there.
I do trust the defense, but defense, unless it's a pick six, they're not going to get you points.
Yeah.
You need to get points on the scoreboard to win.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I have for top 10. Let's move on to game picks. Let's start with Thursday's game. Dallas Cowboys at Detroit Lions. The spread is 3 for Detroit. 53.5 is the point spread. Ron, who'd you go with?
This is going to be a great game. Probably the best Thursday night game, I think. Well, not including Thanksgiving games, I guess. I'm going with Detroit here, and I'm taking the over. I think this is going to be like a high-scoring game. even Detroit to win this one. I don't feel that confident in it because I do think Dallas has played well recently. Their defense is even playing a little bit better. But I think that Detroit, you know, at home, will pull this one off.
I've lost confidence in Detroit. Ever since Dan Campbell decided to take over the offensive responsibilities, it's not the same without Ben Johnson. It's not the same. It's they look lost. They look like they're not in rhythm. Because obviously Ben Johnson is all about timing. I don't. The same timing is not there for the Lions. I don't know what's going on.
They lost. What's their receiver? He went down in the middle of the game last week. That was huge.
St. John?
St. Brown, yeah.
St. Brown?
Yeah. So that was, there's no replacing him. So he has to be, he has to be healthy and play for them to have a chance. But I agree, they don't look necessarily the same, but I would not discount them yet.
I mean, Dallas is actually up and coming. They got receivers.
What's their record?
I think they're second in the AFC, NFC East.
6-5.
Yeah, they got that tie, but what's there currently? I think they got a mini streak going.
Yeah.
3-game streak. So, I think Dak is playing well. CD Lamb is playing well. Pickens, we just talked about, is playing well. Somehow the defense is coming alive. It's gotten better. I'm going to go with Dallas on this game. I know they're not the favorite ones, but I do agree that this is going to go over. But
if Dallas does win this game, then I would really start to have some questions. I mean, I already dropped Detroit out of my top 10.
Already too.
But losing this game, I'd really have some questions about whether or not they can rebound and make the playoffs, to be honest with you.
I mean, Chicago is looking good. But we'll see this week. The next game is starting on Sunday. Seattle Seahawks at Atlanta Falcons. Seahawks have favored by 7.5. I think that should be higher, but okay. 43.5 is a point spread. What's your prediction, Ron?
I got Seattle winning this one. I do think Atlanta was, will try to keep it close with Bijan and, Kirk Cousins or whatever they throw out there, but
I mean, what happened with the Jets? I mean, they had the Jets. I know that they won in overtime, but come on, you can't do it to the Jets.
No.
They don't have it was like Tyler throwing, running. He looked like a superstar.
Yeah.
Atlanta's supposed to have a good defense.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, I went with Seattle as well. I think that spread might be higher. Tennessee Titans at Cleveland Browns. Browns are favored by 4.5. 33.5 is a point. Take the under. For the 33.5 is a point. What you go with?
I'm taking Cleveland. I don't know what the score will look like. It's not going to be an offensive explosion for sure. But 33.5 is so low. Like, that's like a 17 to...
That's like a 15, yeah. 16 to 15.
That's so low.
It could be lower, to be honest with you, because I don't know if Sanders is a bad quarterback or Cam Ward is, he has his moments, but he's not going to score a lot of points.
Yeah.
And, that defense, I don't know about the defense anymore. It's like...
Tennessee's?
Yeah, no, Cleveland's.
Like, well, Garrett's out there. He looks like he's going to break the sack record.
Yeah, but then, what about the rest of the team? Is just him doing it? I don't know. I went with Cleveland, but this could be an upset. Next game, the Bears. Chicago Bears at Green Bay Packers. Packers are favored by 6.5. 44.5 is the over and under. Ron, what'd you go with?
I'm taking Green Bay. I don't think they cover that spread, though. I think Chicago potentially could be a better team than them. But this game is in Green Bay. I think that's going to be the... that'll make it like the game equal and give Green Bay the win.
I'm going with Chicago here. Yeah, I've been going with them for like 4 weeks in a row. I don't know what's going on with Ben Johnson and the fact that they're actually playing good defense. I just feel like this is a test that they, if they want to win the division, they have to win this game. It's not a must because I think they play Green Bay again, but I want to see them in the cold weather, which they have done. I want to see them actually do something because Williams is not actually like blowing the roof off.
No.
Well, but no. He's doing enough. He's doing enough. Yeah.
There's some throws. You're like, God dang, you missed that by like a mile. No. And then others, you're like, wow, great throw.
Yeah, great throw. He's like 50-50. He's not, his accuracy is really bad. He's in like the 40s, but you know, it's working, I guess. The next game, the Washington Commanders at Minnesota Vikings. 1.5 Minnesota, that can't be right.
It is.
Wow.
41.5 is the point spread. Ron, what's your...
I'm taking Washington to win this one because Minnesota last week threw the rookie out there, Bosmer. He was pathetic. I don't know McCarthy's situation at all.
He's still going... I just looked it up. He's still in the concussion protocol. This is the longest concussion protocol I've ever seen.
Whether it's McCarthy or Bosmer, is that his name?
Yeah, Bosmer.
That Minnesota offense has looked terrible. So, and Washington, Mariota, he played pretty well this past week. So,
and there's rumor that Jane Daniels might come back for this game.
Really? Oh, that'll be interesting. I would not play him if I'm them. Because aren't they? It's not like they have a chance, right? Washington is 3-9. Like, why would you play Jane Daniels and risk another injury?
No idea.
Yeah.
I have no idea why they would do that, but that's just a rumor. And I mean, this Vikings game is indoors, so you don't... It's just that they have a good defense, right? So I'm going with Washington as well because I don't trust any of the Minnesota QBs. So give me Washington to win this game. Next game, the Miami Dolphins at the New York Jets. Miami's favored by 2.5. 41.5 is a point spread. Ron, who'd you go with?
I am changing my mind on the spot right here. I chose Miami initially, but I did not consider weather. I mean, we are here in December at this point. Isn't there like a...
Tua temperature?
Nor'easter heading up there?
Oh, right? Yes, yeah. That's true.
So I don't know what the weather will look like, but this game's up north. I expect it to be really cold. I'm changing my mind now. I'm going to take the Jets to somehow win this one.
I'm also taking the Jets because, not because they won against Atlanta, but same thing.
Yeah.
It's going to be cold. The Tua on the 35, he's not very good. He has a big losing record. The players are going to be like, you think it's going to be minus 40 degrees.
They're
going to be so wrapped up. So yeah, give me the Jets to win this one. The next game, New Orleans Saints at Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Bucks have favored by 8.5. 42.5 is a point spread. Ron, who'd you go with?
I'm taking Tampa here. I think they are, I want to say they're back. They almost gave up, you know, blew that game last week. But with Bucky Irvin back now, and then I heard Mike Evans might be practicing next week or something like that. Yeah, give me Tampa. To win, they need to they need to win these games and lock, you know, close out and win this division.
Yeah, I also picked Tampa. I think they should win this game, and just like Carolina beating the Rams last week was, you know, teams going from the West Coast to the East Coast, they don't perform as well. Not saying that that's an excuse, but you're making Young look like a superstar. That's not right.
Yeah.
That's not right. next game, Indianapolis Colts at Jacksonville Jaguars. Indy is favored at 1.5. 48.5 is a point spread. Ron, who'd you go with?
Yeah, we just talked about these two teams in my top 10. Both of them are ones that I don't fully trust yet, but I'm taking Jacksonville. They're at home, and you mentioned the injury. The quarterback injury. So, you know, I don't have any faith in this pick. I would not touch this game at all. But I'm taking Jacksonville to win this one.
I'm going with Indy, and not because I just feel like they have a better team overall. Not a better quarterback because we just talked about Daniel's injury, but I think they have enough with the running back and the receivers. I think they have enough to beat Indy. But yeah, don't bet on this game unless you're a sick person. The next game, Denver Broncos at Las Vegas Raiders. 7.5 for Denver. 40.5 is the point spread. Ron, would you go with?
I'm going with Denver here. They should win this one pretty easily, to be honest with you. It is the Raiders are done at this point with the Chip Kelly firing and not having an identity whatsoever on offense. Give me Denver to win this one and cover that 7.5 point spread.
I can't. Is this right? There's only two games at 4:00. That's terrible.
No, the Bears Packers apparently got moved to 4:25.
Okay, yeah. I do see that. Okay, so three games. All right. Yeah. I guess so.
Yeah, these games at the end, they start to like get flexed and moved a lot. So,
next game, LA Rams at Arizona Cardinals. Rams are favored by 8.5. 48.5 is the point spread. Ron, who'd you go with?
I'm taking the Rams to bounce back, but I would be careful if I'm the Rams. It's a divisional game, so it could be really close. But give me the Rams to win this one.
Yeah, I got the Rams as well. Even though Arizona may look frisky from time to time, they always score it up at the end. So give me the Rams to win this game. This is the Monday night game. The Philadelphia Eagles at Los Angeles Chargers. The Eagles are favored 2.5. 40.5 is a point spread. Ron, who'd you go with?
I am taking Philly here because I honestly don't know how healthy Herbert is, and they absolutely need him to win. So he's day-to-day right now, not practicing. Just had the surgery yesterday or today. Can't remember when the surgery was. But
surgery was, what's today, Tuesday?
Yeah.
I think it was yesterday. Yeah.
Okay, yesterday. So I mean, I'll give the Chargers credit. I thought they would fall off with their injuries, but they've been right there and they are hanging on. So I think it really does come down to whether Herbert plays. I think if Herbert plays, they can win, but I'm putting Philly for now to win this one.
Yeah, I also picked up Philly to win this game. I know they lost two in a row already. They're not really scoring too much, but again, Herbert just had surgery. There's no way that he can be good for this game.
Yeah.
So give me Philly to win this game. All right, I know the Patriots are on a bye, but the Pittsburgh are playing at Baltimore. Baltimore is favored by 6 points. 43.5 is the over and under.
I think it just went up to 6.5 sometime today, too.
Oh, even better.
Yeah.
6.5. What's your prediction, Ron?
Yeah, I'm taking Baltimore to win this one. I don't think it's going to be one of those low scoring, you know, games that has typically that we've typically seen and been accustomed to for the, you know, Pittsburgh Baltimore. I think Pittsburgh's done. I think Baltimore needs to rebound and they'll look a lot better, you know, against Pittsburgh defense that has been able to do anything. So give me Baltimore to win 30-16.
I'm actually, I don't see, because Baltimore and Lamar, they haven't looked the same. They're not playing like MVP level. I have them still winning 24-21. I actually have Pittsburgh scoring 21 points.
But how's that happen?
I don't know. I don't know if there's any kind of resemblance left with the Steelers this year.
No.
But I think it's going to be a close game. I don't. You think that Baltimore's going to score 30? Might be like 17-14.
Well,
to be honest with
you. Just saw what Cook did. We don't have Harmon again this week. And they got, well, Lamar, he hasn't been running that much, but they still got Derrick Henry in the backfield. So I could see Henry going off for about 130, 140.
But he hasn't even had 100 in the last three games. I don't know what's going on with Derrick Henry. I don't know what's going on with Baltimore. anyway.
Just wait. Just wait. Steelers are the answer. Steelers are coming to town.
Steelers.
They will fix all your problems.
All your offensive problems. Yeah.
Oh, they'll fix all your problems, and you'll be able to run the ball, you know, for however many yards you want to.
Yeah, he's. I don't know what's going on with Derrick Henry this year. Ron, who's your upset special?
Big game here. Cincinnati at Buffalo. Big game for both teams. Buffalo still got a good chance, obviously, to make the playoffs. But I don't think, you know, with the game against Pittsburgh, I don't think they did anything, you know, to make them look great. You know, they only passed the ball, like I said, for about 120 yards. Cincinnati is playing good football, desperate football. And Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase being available now. He didn't play last week. He'll be there now. I got Cincinnati pulling off an upset in Buffalo 28-27. And they keep their playoff hopes alive.
I'm going to go with Buffalo because we just talked about how they're going to get bad weather up in New York. And I don't know if Joe Burrow is going to be as effective in the bad weather. Like you said, Buffalo, they got Cook.
So that's it.
They can still run the ball. So I'm going to go with Buffalo on this one. My upset special for week 14, I got Houston at Kansas City. Kansas City favored at 3.5. 41.5 is a point spread. Houston has a very, very good defense. Probably one of the top five in the AFC. I don't know what's going on with KC. And this could be loser goes home because they're both kind of in the, you know, right there to make the playoffs. But I have Houston winning 24-21. So let me change my Steelers. I'm going to go 14-17. I'm actually going to drop the hype and give a 21-24 to Houston.
Yeah, I think out of those two teams, Houston has probably played and looked like the better team. But this game is in Kansas City, which is a tough place to play.
Not this year, though.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, I think I've already said at this point, you know, Kansas City is probably out. But, you know, mathematically, they're still in it. But if they lose this week, I have a hard time finding, you know, being able to see them. If they fall to 6-7, I'm just looking at their schedule now. Texans, Chargers, those are two tough teams. Titans, that should be easy, but then you got the Broncos and Raiders. So it's going to be hard. Those are, you know, three games right there. That's going to be tough to win those.
Yeah, I stand corrected. They are 5-1 at home this year. All their losses have come on the road. They won in 5. So they do have a really good point differential, plus 73. But that doesn't mean that they're scoring a lot of points.
No, like Baltimore, they haven't looked the same, right? No. You know, so.
And Patrick Mahomes is healthy.
Yeah.
Kelsey's getting up there in age. I don't feel like the weapons are there. Worthy, Rice. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. This might be the year where the dynasty ends. So you have a really bad outlook for the Steelers this year because you want Tomlin gone.
Yes.
On the opposite end, I am really happy with what's happening right now.
Yeah.
This could be the start of something beautiful.
Yeah.
Not another dynasty, like, but at least we're going to be competitive for a couple of years.
You got like, how many picks did you say? Like 12 picks next year?
12 picks next year.
So
we got like, you know, good funds to spread around. I feel good about this Patriots team. Are they better than Seattle? Are they better than the Rams? Probably not, but we're not talking about, if it comes down to rosters, no. Probably not.
And but none of that matters when you get in the playoffs. It's a whole different beast. The bye week is so important. And
that's what I mean. It's like they're talking about Will Campbell might come back at the last game of the year? No, just save him.
Yeah.
Because if you get that number one pick, that number one seed, you know you get a bye week. Yeah. So why not?
Yeah.
So I'm very, very ecstatic on what's going on right
now. Who, is there a team that you don't want to play in the playoffs that you would not feel confident in? Just looking at the AFC in general, that you not want to play, like, let's assume you get the bye. Is there a team that you don't want to play?
I'm just looking at the right now.
Let me throw something. Jacksonville. You think you can beat them?
Yes.
Colts.
With Daniel Lindry, yes.
No, but I'm projecting like 4 weeks, 5 weeks from now, 6 weeks from now, whatever it is.
I'm not worried because, listen, when I watched the game last night, they made sure to stay away from Gonzalez the whole game. I think they threw his way one time and he deflected the ball.
Yeah,
like, why would you even do that? That is the only thing that I worry about, is that the other lockdown defender is not really that locked down, Carlton Davis. So I don't want a team that's high-powered offense.
Who would that be, though? Just looking at like these teams, it's not Denver. It's not really even the Chargers.
Well, you don't say Denver, but
their defense is good.
Their defense is good, and Bo Nix is actually like second in pass yard. He's actually doing it. He might not be high in scoring, but he's moving the ball. I would fear, you know, Denver, because Bo Nix all of a sudden wakes up and he's like, oh wow, there's a game to play. Jaguars, I'm not worried about, you know.
Buffalo,
it depends what happens this coming game, week 14. Because if we beat them, then they're going to have a chip in the show. They'll be like, oh man, we just can't beat this team. So Buffalo, if they do end up beating us week 14 at home, which is kind of tough, then they'll have some, you know, confidence going in. So I wouldn't want to see Buffalo because of the whole division thing.
Yeah. But,
you know, I would be fine with Houston. I would be even fine with, like...
See, I think Houston would be a tough matchup. Like,
I just don't know Stroud. I don't know about Stroud this year.
But they got weapons. They got, like, some good receivers.
And they got that rookie running back who's actually...
Marks, yeah. Chubb. And their defense is legit.
To be honest, this... I don't know if these AFC teams are, like, dominant.
Oh, no. Not at all.
No, it's...
Except, and then you'll have the home field advantage, but most likely, right?
I mean, even if they get a number two, that's still have the home field advantage. But then they'll have to play one of these 8 or 9 teams that make. So, yeah, this is going to be interesting. It's going to be very interesting, you know.
What if the Steelers get into the playoffs against my wishes? And they would also still have to win that first game, which is... would be
if the Steelers on the road if they have to come to Gillette Stadium, bring it on, because that they have to win the division. Though
we did that already, though.
They have to win the division,
but they beat you in New England. I'm just putting that out there. I'm laughing because I don't even believe it.
You hang on to that, okay?
I don't even believe it.
You hang on to that victory.
They would get their freaking doors blown in if the Steelers went to New England in the playoffs, the way they're playing right now.
That, I'm just looking at the stats for like a secondary, worst secondary in the league. I don't think it's the Steelers anymore. I'm just looking right now.
Yeah, there's another team that it was right there too, but I mean, the defense has been terrible.
Yeah, the defense, I mean, I'm not going to say that, you know, the confidence on that, but geez, it's just okay. Let me look it up real quick.
Yeah, I don't want that to, like I said, I want the Steelers not to even make the playoffs, because we all know what would happen if they do. You know, Tom will be back guaranteed, and we'll just run it back, you know, with some other 40-year-old quarterback next year. Am I lying? I mean,
the thing is, like, you know, like Anthony said in the last episode, you need to make like a Godfather offering. Just get in the top three. Just get yourself a, not that this year
is
good.
What's that? Like, what is there to get in? I mean, we have TJ Watt and
on the contract, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
Hayward at 35, you know, outside of that. I mean, what is there?
Yeah, that's, it's just, what can you say? It's not looking good, right? Yeah. Well, I don't know. This is harder than I thought, because I thought it would be just team statistics where they give me individuals. But doesn't matter. I just, any of these teams, bring it on, except for Denver, because I don't know about Denver. Sometimes they struggle, sometimes they don't. You know, that defense is good. Sometimes Bo Nix feels like playing well. So I don't know. And Sean Payton is on the team, so he knows what he's doing, kind of.
Yeah, I put money beginning of the year on like three teams winning the Super Bowl. Denver, which had, I think it was decent odds. Philly, who was the other team? I think it was Tampa, believe it or not, which had really, really good odds. So I'm, you know, I still think any of those teams, even Tampa, like I said, if they get healthy, could potentially make the NFC too. I mean, your top teams in the NFC are who? Chicago, Philly that just lost. I mean, the Rams that just lost. Seattle, I guess. That's the team I probably feel the most confident about. San Francisco. Why not Tampa? You know, no one knows at this point. It's so hard to say who's going to be in the Super Bowl. I think this is like the toughest year, I think, to really predict who's going to end up making it to the Super Bowl this year.
NFC, it's a hard, hard division. It's a hard conference to predict who's going to come on top. But, I mean, when you look at the AFC, everyone is struggling except for the Patriots and Denver. Everyone is struggling, so I don't know. Okay, so here, okay, so you actually dropped to like 10th. So here, the worst secondaries in the league: the Bengals, Commanders, Cowboys, 49ers, Giants, Buccaneers, and then so, you know, Bengals, which we know have a bad defense.
Yeah.
And then all the other teams are NFC teams.
Right.
And then Steelers are AFC. So
yeah. And just keep in mind, going back to like what Tomlin did, traded Minka, went after Ramsey, and the worst decision was Slay to be your starter alongside Porter. And Slay is no longer on the team as of today. So that when you add that up to the moves that he's made and where we're finishing, that is horrible, you know, horrible decision making on your player personnel. Terrible.
It is bad. So we both got them losing this week against Baltimore. Next week we'll have episode 141. Patriots will be back from their bye week, facing the Buffalo Bills. That should be in it. I don't know. Are they going to flex that game?
They should. What time is that right now? Like 1 o'clock or something?
I think it's a 1 o'clock
game. Yeah, they should flex it. It'd be a good like Sunday night or something.
Sunday night, let me see. I don't know if they'll flex to Sunday.
Probably right? Not.
They're still showing at 1 o'clock right now.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see if they flex it. But yeah, 1 o'clock next Sunday. Not this Sunday, next Sunday, we'll see. We'll see. Even if they Buffalo wins, it doesn't mean that they win the division. Because we still got more victory in the AFC. So, man, I don't know. I don't wanna say that where I'll be hosting a Super Bowl party. Let's get the number one seed and then we'll talk. So with that, I'll say peace.
Peace. All right, that's it, guys. That's the end of the show. Thanks so much for all your support and listening today. If you got any questions, comments, feedback, feel free to email us at simsportsmedia@gmail.com. That's SYMS PORTSMEDIA@gmail.com. Peace.